Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. I started preaching from Colossians last October with the theme, becoming the persons God designed us to be. And I felt like I just pretty well hammered that one pretty well silly. And took some time off for Advent, Christmas, and focus on the resurrection of Jesus at the latter part of Lent and into Easter. And I just had some ideas of some themes that I thought were really pretty interesting and sort of unique as I came into this week. And I thought I'd make a change. But not one of those themes gained any momentum. They just didn't, they sounded fun, but they just didn't quite get anywhere. And the more I prayed and just felt a lot of unrest in my own soul, prayed some more, this line kept coming back. Since you have been raised to new life. With Christ. Putting that in the context of Easter, thinking of Jesus raised to life and victory after crucifixion. Now you have been raised to new life with Christ. It's not just something in history. It's a very real event in history. But you have. And so I just kept coming back and coming back and coming back. So I have to confess today, here I am again. Just working my way through this manual of becoming the persons God designed us to be. The emphasis on becoming, because God is shaping and transforming us. Realizing that it's a letter really to Christians. You have been raised to new life with Christ. The next verse says, think about the things. I'd like to shift the word things to ways. It's a fair paraphrase. Think about the ways of heaven, not the ways of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ and God. Wow. Your real life. I thought about using the word embedded in Christ, but you know that's usually used of reporters that are mixed in with troops. We're not just reporters looking. We're part of the troops. We're part of the body of Christ. We've been assimilated in. We've been recruited. We've been naturalized. We've been sworn in. We are a part of the body of Christ. And here's the promise. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Now here's the first instruction. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. There's some instructions. You don't do these to become, as Christians, we are given this instruction. Put to death sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming.
You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. That's an interesting one. You have stripped off your old sinful nature. Remember back there in chapter 2 of Colossians? Now put on your new nature. Be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Don't be dishonest. I'm fear that dishonesty is not so much with others as with ourselves. Just look over these verses, an overview. Here, the provisions of this resurrection life for you as a follower of Jesus. You have been raised to new life. Not shall be, could be, possibly, maybe. Listen to what the apostle says. We do believe scriptures are the word of God, inspired by God to writers who tried to put the phenomenal truths of God into human language. What a job. And here's, you have been. Not someday when you die and go to heaven, you will. No, you have been raised to new life with Christ. And you died to this life, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So here are some instructions. Set your sights. The real words are your hearts and your minds, your thinking, on the ways of heaven. Put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. And that word sinful lurking things, or sinful earthly things lurking, New International Version translated, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. New Revised Standard Version says, whatever in you is earthly. There, some of those old ways, put them to death. Because here's the promise. When Christ, who is your new life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in His glory. It'll happen. I promise. But there is a warning. Four behaviors of this world that can choke out God's gift of life in you. Very strong warning, very clear warning. Sexual impurity or immoralities, impurity and lust, evil desires, greed, anger, viruses that can choke out God's gift of life in believers. So here's the plea. Be honest with yourselves and with each other. Remember, you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. That's one half of repentance, turning away from the old ways. The second half of repentance is turning to follow Jesus. You have put on the new nature, the nature of Christ. You are being renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. That's interesting. Notice that second part of that 10th verse. You have put on. But now it says, you are being renewed as you learn to know your Creator. The more we become like Jesus, actually, the more we learn about Jesus and the ways of Jesus, He keeps on transforming us. One passage, or one line of St. Paul in another letter is, one degree at a time, slowly, we are becoming more and more like Jesus. But there is a warning in these verses. The virus of sin in this world corrupts life and robs us of the joys God designed for us in creation. The virus of sin. The Bible talks about sins as behaviors, but it also talks about a nature of sin in our world, as well as the nature of sin in the heart of people. And there's a virus of sin in our world that corrupts life and robs us of the joys God designed for us in the creation. Think of Garden of Eden life for Adam and Eve, a life of beauty, joy, harmony with each other, harmony with God, harmony with creation, harmony with self, beautiful, beautiful life. But after the fall, sin corrupted their relationship with God, their relationship with each other, their relationship with creation and themselves. Friends, I want you to hear something. I'm not sure on this completely, so I just use the word most. Most of the sins identified in Scripture are a corruption of the good things God gave us as gifts. Think about it. Most of the sins identified in Scripture are a corruption of good things God has given us. Think of it. Due to selfishness, we miss God's design for us. Sexuality created beautiful is corrupted by immorality, lust, and desires. Desire in and of itself is not evil. It is corrupted by greed and covetous idolatry. Individuality is a very important quality. You are a gift of God. You are a unique creation. You are loved and known by God. But individuality gets corrupted by anger, rage, malice. In selfishness, we miss God's designs for us. You see, pleasure is not evil. Did you know that? There were some times in my early life as I listened to stories about Christianity and Sunday school lessons and sermons, I sort of got the idea that pleasure was evil. Pleasure isn't. However, pleasure on steroids dominating life and blinding us to one another is a source of destruction, crime, and evil. When we center on us. And Paul warns us very clearly, the anger of God is coming because of these behaviors. It's a reality. God says, I will be merciful only if you stop your evil thoughts and deeds and start treating each other with justice. Only if you stop exploiting foreigners, orphans, and widows. Only if you stop your murdering. Only if you stop harming yourselves by worshiping idols. Wow. There's a condition. A big call of God. Today I want to take a focus on just one of those viruses that I mentioned earlier. The virus of sexual immorality that has a way of eating away at God's design for us. Verse 5. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Watch this. Our sexuality is a part of our creation, isn't it? And God declared that all of His creation was super good. It you don't quite catch it. God looked and saw that everything was good. Well, the word for good there is actually has a superlative ending on it. It's not just good. All of God's creation was super good. Men and women are designed to complement one another, to take pleasure in one another. Sexual attraction is a natural part of life. Expression of this part of our life is a part of marriage. Genesis chapters 1, chapter 2. You have that whole book called Song of Songs. In the older translation, it was called Song of Solomon. And it really is a poem celebrating the beauty of sex in a loving context. And it's oftentimes been interpreted as an intimate relationship with God. But as you look at it, it's also a description of a man and woman together in holy love. One writer identifies sexual intimacy as the sacrament of marriage. A little bit later, as I move on through this, Paul begins talking about the marriage relationship, and I'm going to take some time with that. But I want to take a moment to look at this particular phrase. Sexual immorality, impurity, and lust are perversions of God's design. Verse 5 talked about sinful earthly things, the ways of this world. Sexuality is not a part of our sin nature, it's a part of our created being. Sexual immorality is a result of the fall. Sometimes described as the sinful nature or desires of the flesh dominating our lives. There are numerous perversions of sexuality identified in Scripture. Primary one is adultery, which is defined even in the electronic dictionary of the computer, extramarital sex or sex outside of marriage. Synonyms of adultery include infidelity, disloyalty, betrayal, deceitfulness, unfaithfulness. I need to just take a moment here and make a warning of something that I've observed far too many times. Emotional affairs. Oh, we say there wasn't an actual moment of physical intercourse, but generally that follows emotional attachments. As sexual beings, we do respond to others in that way. One of the major downfalls of pastors, and I've dealt with it many times, working with friends in my 45 years of marriage, of ministry. Emotional attachment that erodes marriage relationship. And oftentimes rationalized because we didn't have sex. But our sexuality is so much a part of our being, physically, psychically, emotionally, mentally. Adultery starts in the mind. That's why a little bit later it's going to be important for us to take some time to talk about healthy marriage relationships. Adultery is a primary perversion. The second one is the whole issue of lust. Jesus taught, you have heard the commandment says you must not commit adultery. I say to you, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Primarily he's talking to men here. As I listen to women today, it's just as much a part. It's a warning. When does general attraction become lust and adultery? The reality is, friends, you will be attracted to others. Men will be attracted to women. Women will often be attracted to men. And we're hearing more and more men being attracted to men and women to women. Just sort of it's a part of the way of our life. Being attracted and recognizing is not sin. That's called welcome to life. The question is, what are we going to do with it? Perversion, remember, is taking that which is good, healthy, normal, given by God, and perverting it for selfish use and missing what God has for us. I'm going to talk about it a little bit later, because in this fifth verse it sort of ties evil desire in with sexual immorality, impurity, and lust. I'm going to treat it different because I've come to believe it needs separate attention. Desire is a normal part of our created psyche. I like nice cars. I like my computer stuff. I like my toys. Desire. Natural, normal. When this becomes God and starts to dominate me. But now we come back to the whole issue of sexual immorality. We are created sexual beings. God created us this way. God created us this way. It's natural. It's normal. The question is, what are we going to do with that desire? A third area of perversion is pornography. The word sexual immorality actually comes from just one word in the Greek, and the word is porneia, the root word for pornography for us. Talked using this passage just before Easter. Take charge of your thinking. And I used the old fable then that I heard as a kid. You can't stop the birds from flying over your head. You don't have to let them build a nest in your hair. Right? Temptation comes. Temptation. Jesus himself was tempted. Temptation is not sin. If temptation is sin, then Jesus sinned. Because what happened in the wilderness between his baptism and the beginning of his public ministry, he went into the wilderness and was? Did he sin? So is temptation sin? Is temptation sin? Is temptation sin? Is temptation sin? Have I gotten this through yet? When does temptation become sin? When I say yes. Got it? So guys, attraction by that sexy looking woman, that's natural, normal, you're healthy. But health also means you move your mind on to something else. Take captive our thoughts. Ladies, that hot guy, that hunk, come on. Move on. Pornography. As we begin focusing on that, it begins to color our expectations of our spouse, our loved ones, people around us. A fourth area mentioned by Scripture as a perversion is prostitution. Now, I'm not worried about you going out and doing prostitution. But friends, let me just say something. Sex slavery in our nation would not exist if there weren't people buying the product. Do we want to blame the persons who are doing the prostitution? Friends, Americans are buying it. And the reason there's so much injustice and perversion is because there's money in it. A fifth area mentioned in Scripture is homosexuality. But here's what I want to point out. Recently, the big focus on immorality gets focused on the word homosexuality. But what we need to hear is that is really a small portion of the teaching about sexual immorality in Scripture. Adultery and lust get much bigger attention. Perversions that are there. The Scripture teaches sexual perversion will be punished. Jesus taught abstinence is possible. We can change our thinking. Scripture is pretty clear. Sexual perversion can be corrected, and we can live holy lives. We can do it. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, his first one. He writes, don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? He's pretty blunt. Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or worship idols or commit adultery or are male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves or are greedy people or are drunkards or are abusive or are cheap people. Remember what I said earlier? The homosexuality is a very small term. Look at the other terms that are there. None of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, you can say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. I just encourage you, if you get a chance, continue studying this sixth chapter of 1 Corinthians. I was thinking about reading it, but my time's gone. I have to move on. These are viruses that distract us from becoming what God wants us to be. Future topics I'm going to look at is the viruses of evil desire, greed, and anger. The call to put on compassion, genuine love for others, Christian marriage and family, prayer. My objective here is for us to become the people God designed us to be. See, we start rationalizing behaviors, don't we? We can rationalize anger. We can rationalize improper relationships. But our challenge is to become the people God designed us to be. So I close with these words again. Since you have been raised, you have been raised to new life with Christ. Set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits at the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about God's ways, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. The 10th verse of that chapter, you, believer, have put on your new nature, the nature of Christ, and you are being renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. That's our objective. Denise has chosen an interesting song that's a prayer. I love it. I invite you to pray it with her. Breathe on me, breath of God. I invite you to join with Danita and the team as they lead us. I invite you to sing it as a prayer.